Blog Talk Radio.
Oh no, oh no,
that is horrible.
Oh no,
yo, yo, yo,
oh no, you didn't.
Sucker tried to play me, but you never paid me, never.
Oh no, you didn't.
Payback is a-coming, you will be running forever.
Oh no, you didn't.
Until I get my vengeance, I will never end this mayhem.
Oh no, you didn't.
I'm a mercenary, you ain't got a prayer, you owe me.
Oh no.
That sounds so horrible. Bad, bad, bad.
Yeah.
Good morning, happy people.
Yay, it is Friday, Corey. It's Friday. Friday!
You said that like it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. It's Friday. We can get our drink on after this.
I can't. Gotta go out in that heat.
Oh, no, no, no. See, I did the heat yesterday and got all pukey from it, so no thank you. Done with the heat.
This is sounding horrible.
The person who dragged me outside in the heat yesterday, I was like, nah, no, sorry. You can see me again outside in, you know, the light of day come fall.
No,
till then, no more.
Well, I got good news and bad news.
Oh, no. Well, I guess start off with the bad news.
The bad news is this song will not end.
That's not such bad news. We like that song.
Yes, when it's sung properly and not by GLaDOS.
Yeah, GLaDOS. GLaDOS, we love you, honey, but yeah, you need some singing lessons.
Okay, so, well, I just got some more news from PAX. Apparently our bitch session yielded some results.
Imagine that.
He actually just responded back again.
Oh, yeah? Please stop talking bad about us.
Pretty much. Please stop talking. What would you like?
We would like you not to be douchebags to us in the future. Thank you. That's so hard.
And I know you all last night were subjected to that horrible hour-long complaint session, but sometimes that's what you got to do. That was our version of a digital protest, so.
Yes.
Sometimes it works.
You know what? I'm still tempted to tell them. You know what? No, screw you.
Okay, I have this email sitting in my box now. Before I send this stuff back, you better tell me because I will cut you.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of going to the one close to home. They irritated me.
You know what? We'll talk after the show. I'm going to ask you one more time.
She's like, nope.
Not that, but y'all see what I go through here at staff. They make Corey flex her Gaminatrix muscles, and they be like, never mind. That's all three of them.
I contacted the company and got the stuff going to get rid of my tickets.
Well. Well, too bad. It's so sad for you people at PAX. You missed out. You know what? I'll tell you why I'm really not excited about coming. I got news yesterday also that our favorite podcast, aside from our own Radioactive Nerds, they're not coming because they couldn't get in.
No!
No. And I was like, my boys aren't going. My girls aren't going over there.
You know what? No. We don't want to play with y'all no ways.
I don't know if I want to go. It's no fun without my peoples. Who am I going to argue on a street corner with, you know, in front of the center? Who am I going to argue with?
Well, there's always the people who live on the street corner, but probably not nearly as much fun.
Well, there's nothing on that corner other than a convenience store where I'm thinking we were harassed, but I think I was too busy playing with the Radioactive Nerd guys to really pay attention, but things were being harassed. But there's nothing on that corner. But it was fun to stand there and argue with them because they're just as crazy as we are, you know. Unfortunately, we didn't record any of that. If it had been recorded, I think that would have just been awesome.
That would have been awesome because, I mean, just listening to it, it's kind of like.
We were way worse earlier in the day. We were tired by the time we did that podcast at night. But earlier in the day, there was a whole bunch of screaming. Roman and I had a whole imaginary session about our imaginary children. When you gonna take care of your babies? Yeah.
See, I love you, Corey. That's so awesome.
Yeah, what's worse is he started screaming back at me. That's when people started turning around going, what the hell?
all the fun stuff that I miss.
I
pulled up in a hotel in the middle of Timbuktu, Tennessee. It was horrible.
Oh, poor Ginger. But I said, my peoples aren't there, so I'm like, I don't know. Be bored. I'm sure I would make new friends. Everybody's fun in PAX, but anyway, we got to move along. It's news time, and it's Friday, and we want to sleep or something. I don't know. It's hot.
Yes, it is hot. Oh, I got my AC going. It's nice.
You just rub that right on in, then.
Mm-hmm.
My AC is going. Nice. It don't work. I'm going out and caulk my windows.
Oh, yeah. You got to do that. I did that. I got to do this one right here next to the computer. I notice it's not.
Yes, I got to caulk my windows in a bikini. No, I will not give you my address.
See, I'm one of those cheapskates. I've got the central heat in there, but I'm holed up in my office, and I've got the central heat turned off on the house and got my door closed, the office, and have the window unit going.
See, that's not bad, though. That saves energy. See? It likes saving energy. But,
yes.
But I don't have any window units.
Oh, that was the... I actually found it on Craigslist. That was, like, the most awesome buy ever.
What? Well, you know what? I don't trust Craigslist. I tried to sell some furniture, and then they started asking me, did I have any other things? You have an Xbox at your house? What? Why do you need to know that? I'm selling a table.
No, you don't need to know that. No. Mm-mm. All right. So I guess if they came from news, I've got some cool news. This is coming from GamePolitics.com this morning. NSF highlights tongue drive system technology. This is kind of awesome. All right, so the National Science Foundation has awarded a grant to GA Tech Research Corporation at the GA Institute Technology for an innovative technology that lets the user move wheelchairs and mouse cursors with their tongue. A team of engineers at the GA Tech Research Corporation has developed a wireless and wearable assistive technology that can convert the user's tongue motions to specific commands, such as moving a mouse cursor or a powered wheelchair. In testing the advanced prototypes, individuals with high-level spinal cord injuries and other severe disabilities were able to move objects with ease. In one trial, individuals with spinal cord injuries showed that the average speed of information transfer between participants and the computer was 95 bits per minute, more than twice the bandwidth of the fastest brain-computer interfaces that have been tested on human subjects. All right, so more from the NSF site says, a team at the Georgia Institute of Technology, led by, led by Masayam Govanlo, developed the system which uses magnetic field sensors mounted on a headset to detect a small magnetic tracer the size of a grain of rice on an individual's tongue. A novel signal process algorithm running on a laptop that wirelessly receives the measured magnetic fields associates the subject's tongue position to a set of six user-defined command positions within their mouth in real time. For example, subjects can touch one of their...
Wow, Ginger, we lost you. Okay, looks like we lost our Ginger. I suppose I should step in. All right. And I was not ready because I'm looking at other stories. Okay, but I do have this. If you're familiar with the EMA, I am hoping you all can still hear me. Horrible reception here. Okay, I'm going to assume I'm still on. Wow, live radio people, live radio. All right, so the EMA apparently has elected its 2011-2012 board members, and I said while it might not be flashy news, the Entertainment Merchants Association, a.k.a. the EMA, announced that its board of directors has elected officers for the 2011-2012 year. Bob Geisman, Ingram Entertainment, has been reelected to 7th consecutive term as chairman of EMA. John Marmaduke from Hastings Entertainment was also elected to serve as vice chairman, and Marty Graham from the Rentrak Corporation was named the treasurer. In addition, Bruce Eisen from the Dish Network and Mike Gimlet from Gamefly were selected to serve as at-large members of the EMA. Okay, I'm still having weird things going on. Let's see if I can grab Ginger back. She's trying to get back. Ah, sorry, Ginger. Yeah, she is completely gone, people. Anyway, let me continue. In addition, I already read that part. So all the officers at large and executive committee members were elected unanimously. EMA board members contribute greatly to the success of the association, said the EMA president and CEO Bo Anderson. The board's excellent stewardship of the association allows EMA to provide industry support during the economically challenged period. Says we're pleased that the officers were chosen to maintain and encourage our endeavors. In addition to the members of the executive committee, the following following individuals are members of the 2010-2011 EMA Board of Directors, and that's Richard Berry from Toys R Us, David Benson from Best Buy, David Cook from Roxy O'Neill, Mindy Herman from Redbox Automated Retail, LLC, Mark Higgins from Transworld Entertainment, Daniel J. Kaufman from GameStop Corporation, Jim Loporfido from Emerald City Video, and there's a couple of others. You could probably pop over to GamePolitics.com and check out the rest of this list. All right. We're still waiting to get our Jen back. I guess we shall continue with more news. I don't know what happened to her. Poor baby. She's not going to be happy when she gets back. All right. So I'm not sure how I feel about that board. We have some other smaller people like Game Crazy that should probably be there. Hi, Ginger.
Hi.
I wasn't sure if that was you or me or what happened.
Did you get disconnected too?
No, but I couldn't tell. You know, when you drop, sometimes the newer Skype goes all crazy. It starts telling you this call is, you know, has problems. And you're like, well, what part exactly? I got five people here.
Yes. It was a little bit annoying.
I was sharing with them about the EMA elections and how I was not exactly keen on the people they picked.
Oh yeah.
The Entertainment Merchant Association. I'm mostly disturbed that Gamefly and Netflix are on the board, I believe I announced, yeah. And then Dish Network?
Mm-hmm. Really, people?
I'm a little disturbed by that. I don't think I like them having any control over anything.
Nuh-uh.
Other than their own companies. Stay in your lane, people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm like all not ready. Ginger has to drop at the wrong time. God, Ginger.
I know. Oh, I was irritated, too. I was like, are you kidding me?
Look, God, Ginger, causing me problems.
Such problems. It was horrible.
That's Ginger's. I'm trying to fob you off, boys. I'm learning my girls and my guys' voices. Y'all know, my favorite, of course, is Blaster's fake laugh. He has a fake laugh. I was like, that is not real. Okay. Anyway. Wow.
All right.
She says, all right. You want to try this again or you want me to go again?
Yeah. Did I get to the point where I was reading about the NSF site at all?
I do not know. You went warbly for a second. I thought you were coming back, and then I was trying to hear what you were saying, and then, bam, she was gone.
Time Warner, I hate you. It was such a passion.
You cut him.
I've got things to say that I cannot say on daytime radio, and that'll be nice. I troll them.
Call in next week on the night show and tell them all about it. See, look, I have my porn star voice today.
Yes, you do, and it's so hot. It's distracting.
Well, it's because I'm undercover in Second Life, but I cannot reveal what I'm undercover, not least not on air, not for a couple of weeks.
You're undercover in Second Life?
I'm an undercover.
I want to know. You got to tell me.
I'm hiding. Mm-mm.
All right, well, we talked about this one last night very shortly, but I want to, you know, talk about it on daytime because, you know, not everybody listens to the night show.
Not last night anyway.
I know. Where were all of y'all? Y'all stood me up. That's horrible.
Well,
we were all dressed up. We were all smexy. We had, you know, the epic boobs and butt out. And no, y'all.
I didn't really want them there because we were just angry last night. That was a whole lot
were.
Of anger. That was more for us than it was for you guys. It was cathartic. Yeah. Oh, my God. Here we go with the Twitters.
We love your Twitters.
Thank you, Jay. He says he likes my 800 number girl voice.
Yeah, I don't blame him. All right, so GamePolitics.com yesterday afternoon after we signed off air, they have some research that's not really all that surprising. Turns out no one pirates crappy games. Who would have thought?
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know. All right, so a new study reveals that the amount of piracy associated with a given title may have a correlation to what kinds of review scores it is getting. At least that is the consensus of researchers from the University of Waterloo, the University of Colorado, and the Copenhagen Business School. They conducted a study that looks at the correlation between the number of downloads on BitTorrent of a game and the scores given to these games by video game reviewers. The study hopes to provide solid research on the magnitude and distribution of pirated video games across a variety of titles and genres, since the availability of this type of information is rare. Research monitored the downloads of 173 new game titles on BitTorrent that were released between 2010 and early 2011. Of those 173 games,
127 were available on BitTorrent, and these games were downloaded by 12.7 million unique peers in the three-month research period. The 10 most downloaded games accounted for 5.3 million downloads, or 42% of the 127 games. The top 10 downloaded video games on BitTorrent in the three-month period were Fallout New Vegas with 962,793 downloads, Darksiders with 656,296 downloads, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit with 656,243 downloads. Oh my god, there's a whole bunch. I'm not going to go through this whole list. Just say they were a lot. All of them. It looks like there was StarCraft 2, Tron, Two Worlds 2, The Sims 3, Star Wars The Force, Call of Duty, yeah, all of these. When researchers compared review scores of the most least downloaded games, they found that higher review scores resulted in more downloads from each game. Game reviewers gave the 10 most downloadable games the following scores of 83.7 for Fallout, 82.7 for Darksiders, 88 for Need for Speed, 86.7 for NBA, 59.5 for Tron, 83.8 for Call of Duty, 89.5 for StarCraft, and 61 for Star Wars. A whole nother list. It doesn't matter. The result indicates a statistically significant positive relationship between the number of unique peers and aggregated review scores, that says the research paper. But put differently, Metacritic scores explain 10% of the variance in the unique peers per game on BitTorrent. While it's interesting to see these numbers and how scores might affect them, it's not particularly surprising either. The writer goes on to say, I mean, who would pirate a crappy game? It's also unclear how these numbers can be used to combat piracy. The only proof it really provides is that if you make a crappy game, then you don't really have to worry about someone else stealing it. True darn story. True story. There are so many crappy games out there, you could not pay me to download.
Well,
the thing is, unfortunately, we get them, I play them, and then I uninstall them.
I don't want to talk about it.
I'm like, this is taking up space on my hard drive.
Yeah, there's
on
my everything. We're not going to talk about the game I downloaded to my sort of smartphone. I will not mention you by name. I don't want to give you the satisfaction.
It was that bad? That is bad. When it's that bad.
I played it 4 minutes.
Oh, that's not like you at all. Me, I might open it up and go, oh, no. You at least, give it the benefit of a doubt.
I'll play it for an hour. I couldn't do it.
That's bad. If Corey can't do it, that's real bad, people.
Yes, because I'll play anything. All right, so I do want to quickly direct your attention, lovely people, over to an interesting article about GamePro, one of the longest lasting and oldest game magazines that's revamping itself. Go ahead and check that out. And if you don't buy magazines, why don't you start? Game magazines are a dying art. Good journalism in there. Yeah, you should check that out. But that's not my story. I just wanted to add that. Because GamePro is really
cool. I love me some magazines. Some good gaming magazines.
GamePro. And that's it. I said GamePro. Oh, check out the article at Gamasutra. It would probably help if I told you where to go to look at the article. Wouldn't it help? Yes?
Yeah, we don't want to send you over there, though.
Can I have my regular voice back? Wow.
No, we like this voice.
It was not like this when I got up. It's weird. Okay. Wow. So Bethesda's saying that they have a very healthy schedule come this November. I don't know about healthy schedule, but it'll be cooler, so I'll be paying more attention to you. Their vice president, Pete Hines, believes that the crush of the high-profile releases at the end of the year could have a positive effect on the industry. He says November will be one of the most crowded months for blockbuster releases on record, with Uncharted 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, Assassin's Creed Revelations, Saints Row the Third, and Need for Speed. The run all scheduled for release in the space of a few weeks. Ooh, that's going to be harsh. Yeah, I'm trying to hit people's pockets a little too hard. Bethesda, The Elder Scrolls V, Skyrim is also due for release in November, with ID Software's Rage falling in October. But Hines takes a positive view on the intense competition. Yes, Ms. Ginger?
No, I'm not saying anything. I'm more irritated that I can't seem to get Facebook to come up.
Wow. Well, he's also saying it's probably healthy for the industry because the industry gets a lot of attention when there's these things happening. And this is an interview he did with Eurogamer. He said, just like the movie industry gets a lot of buzz when there's a bunch of really big things at the movies and everyone's talking about them all. However, with the attention drawn with so many releases could raise public awareness of the industry, Hines conceded that the situation is just as likely to result in failure for some of the games involved. It's probably not healthy for everyone that has one of those titles because, as you rightly pointed out, usually someone gets the short end of the stick. Someone ends up falling short and not doing quite what they expected to. The reason is which will be found wanting. But Hines is confident that Bethesda's products will meet expectations. He says, we're feeling very good about Raid Scare. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm being tickled.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, live show. Okay, so we're feeling very good about both Rage and Scarum and very good about you. Shh.
I didn't do nothing.
It's hard to talk when you're being tickled. Okay.
So you can check. Innocent stuff.
I got to stop doing this article. Really, I can't continue. You can check out the rest of this article, of course, at GI.biz. I think he's right. My only problem with all those games being released in the space of each other is that that's too much money. It's not like the movies. You know, the movies is $30 maybe for mm-hmm. two or three of you to go. This is like $60 a pop, and there's like six of them there, I believe I listed. Five or six I listed. Yeah, I need for y'all to slow it down. I can't play through them that fast. Yeah. And you know, as soon as they're releasing their games, even the crappy ones are going to come out. And, of course, we get those. And where are the really good indie developers? We used to have some really good ones, like the girl we were talking about last night. Hi, Jeanette.
Yes, that was hot.
Jeanette, 15-year-old Jeanette. Jeanette's a superstar. You need to hire her, somebody.
But.
Mm-hmm. For those of you who didn't listen last night, now the whole hour was not an entire bitch fest. We did mention a lovely young lady by the name of Jeanette Yu, who went to the DigiPen summer camp and kicked butt. She created the most popular game there and without a bug in it. Let me see some of you guys out there do that. I'm just saying. Sometimes it takes a girl. Anyway, Ginger, what you got before I end up getting tickled again?
All right, I have got actually some cool news. The picture with this article is kind of scaring me, but, you know, whatever. GamePolitics.com. This came out yesterday afternoon. Looks like they pulled it from the Association for Psychological Science by way of Psych Central. Games, the great self-esteem builders. Really? I wouldn't have imagined. All right, so a new study led by scientists at the University of Essex investigates the attraction of playing video games around the world. The study suggests that the true appeal lies in how games allow players to take on different personality traits, which in turn may bolster self-esteem. The study led by scientists at the University of Essex investigated the idea that many players enjoy video games because they allow them to try on characteristics that they would like to have as their ideal self. I'm going to kill your name. Why do y'all have to have these names? All right, so lead author and social psychologist Dr. Andy Przybylski says a game can be more fun when you get the chance to act and be like your ideal self. The attraction to playing video games and what makes them fun is that it gives people the chance to think about a role they would ideally like to take and then a chance to play the role. When a mountain of past research has focused on the harmful effects,
I don't know about it. No, I'm like, I don't know about that. If it allows you to take the role, I mean, I don't have a desire to be a elven warrior with a sword. I mean, it's fun to pretend, but I don't have.
While a mountain of past research has focused on the harmful effects of games, researchers say that most ignore the simple question of why people actually want to play them. One of the key findings in the study is that having the ability to virtually change identity. And having the ability to act through the identity, hero, sports star, villain, or a different gender, makes players feel better about themselves and takes away negative feelings. Apparently these people have never met the troll. All right, so researchers found that the enjoyment element of the video games was even greater when there was little overlap between someone's actual self and their ideal game self. When somebody wants to feel they are more outgoing and then plays this with this personality, it makes them feel better in themselves when they play. Przybylski's research involved hundreds of casual game players who were studied in the laboratory and then a nearly 1,000 dedicated gamers who played everything from The Sims and Call of Duty to World of Warcraft.
Researchers asked participants how they felt after playing in relation to the attributes or characteristics of the persona they would ideally like to be. Researchers found that players were using the games they played to build self-esteem as opposed to using games as a form of escapism. Probliski says, I was heartened by the findings, which showed that people were not running away from themselves, but running towards their ideals. They are not escaping to nowhere, they are escaping to somewhere. See, I like that. That's awesome. All right, so results of the research will be published in an upcoming issue of the journal Psychological Science. I think that's awesome.
Aww.
That's a whole new spin. I like the idea of running towards something, not running away from something. I see that a lot, especially inside Second Life. I use it as an escape. Well, why are you using it as an escape? Why don't you use it to get better acquainted with yourself and do what you want to do?
I'm trying to learn how to make sculpty flowers. I don't know what the hell the rest of them are.
Oh, that's a lot of work.
I had somebody make me one the other night because, you know, I'm still fascinated with my fascinators. So somebody made me a nice sculpty rose to use. People are like, what the hell is a sculpty? We do have a virtual world section, and we're adding to it as we go. So eventually we will explain what a sculpty is, but not today. Okay, so... All right. VentureBeat is reporting that Facebook spam king Sanford Wallace has been put in the can. I had to do it. One of the most reviled and well-known names in the spamming world, so-called spam king Sanford Wallace, has surrendered to the FBI agents for hacking into Facebook accounts and sending 27 million spam messages. Facebook was previously awarded $711 million in damages from Wallace back in 2009, but today's news marks the first time Wallace, a big proponent of spam throughout the 90s, has faced criminal charges. Wallace allegedly acquired Facebook usernames and passwords via phishing attacks, those false emails asking you to log into various sites, on 500,000 Facebook accounts. He then reportedly used that access to spam messages on Facebook user walls. He was banned from Facebook in 2009, but the indictment accuses him of contempt for logging into Facebook during a 2009 Virgin Airlines flight and also for creating a Facebook profile this year with the name David Sinful Saturdays Fredericks. Wallace was indicted in July by a San Jose, California grand jury, but it wasn't made public until yesterday. In a statement to the press on its blog, Facebook wrote, on July 6th, a federal grand jury in San Jose indicted Wallace with multiple counts of fraud for sending unwanted messages and wall posts to people on Facebook. He now faces serious jail time for this illegal conduct. We applaud the efforts of the U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI to bring spammers to justice and will continue to pursue the support as both civil and criminal consequences for spammers and others who attempt to harm Facebook or the people who use our service. If convicted, Wallace can get anywhere from 16 to 40 years in prison and pay fines of over $2 million. He was released yesterday on a $100,000 bond and is set to appear in court again on August 22nd. I'm wondering where this man is getting the money from if he's just spamming things.
No kidding.
Is somebody paying him to do this?
Yes, I bet so.
Yeah, what is the general outcome? You know, it would be funny. Remember I told you yesterday, I believe, about the whole espionage?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be funny if it turned out Google paid him to...
Oh, my God.
That would be delicious.
Ooh, that would be delicious.
That would be some delicious juice. Well, those of you out who are spamming... Not that I'm trying to tell you to do it, but at least find something good to do with your spamming. I don't know, spam for cancer or something. Make a wish found it. Do something with it. Like Ginger says, be Robin Hood. Don't be just, you know, the common criminal.
Exactly. All right, where'd my story go?
There we go. Over there. Look right there.
Yeah, I know. I've got like four tabs open for different news sites, so yeah. All right, Major League Gaming delivers record-breaking 35 million online video game streams of Anaheim Pro Circuit Video Game Competition. Wow, that's crazy. All right, so Major League Gaming, MLG, the world's largest professional video game league and provider of cross-platform online video game competition, shattered previous MLG records delivering more than 35 million stream views of the Anaheim Pro Circuit weekend, July 29th through the 31st. In addition to online viewers, more than 20,000 fans attended over the course of the weekend, and more than 1,000 players from around the world competed. Online viewership combined with in-person attendance make the Anaheim competition the largest pro circuit in MLG history. Viewers from 171 countries watched four live streams during the three-day double elimination tournament online at
MajorLeagueGaming.com for a total of more than 2.6 million hours of video consumed. Holy crap, people. Alright, so the average user time per stream was more than 3 hours. MLG is working with StreamWorks to deliver live and on-demand coverage of all 2011 and 2012 Pro Circuit competitions. Rebroadcasts of all Anaheim Pro Circuit matches are available on MLG.tv. The Anaheim competition was the third stop on the six-city 2011 MLG Pro Circuit. The tour places the most talented video game players alongside their toughest opponents as they battle for more than $1 million in prizes throughout the year. The season continues in Raleigh, North Carolina, anyways, August 26th to the 28th, and Orlando, Florida, October 14th to the 16th, and culminates with the National Championship in Providence, Rhode Island, this fall, November the 18th through the 20th. Competitor and spectator passes for Raleigh are available online over at MajorLeagueGaming.com. To receive discounts and added benefits, fans can take advantage of the new MLG League membership program. Memberships are available at MajorLeagueGaming.com/membership. Gold MLG League members, which is $29.99 for 12 months, receives $10 off competitor passes and $5 off a spectator pass at Pro Circuit competitions. Early entry into the events, high-definition live video streams for home viewing, discounts on MLG apparel and partner products, and more. Silver MLG League memberships, $9.99 for 3 months, receive access to high-definition, ad-free streams of Pro Circuit competitions, premium VOD, access to member-only forums, and more. Awesome. Still, that's crazy. 35 million online views for that weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome, though.
It is fantabulous.
Fantabulous.
Fabulous.
Love that word.
Fabulous. All right. Well,
what we got here was...
No, bad joke.
Come on.
No. Well, if you ask Google this question, what are you going to do today, Google? And they'll say, same thing we do every day. Try to take over the world. Well, Ventura Beat. Yes, I'm back over there again. Got to interview some of the people over at the Google Plus team. And they talked about their bid to take over the social media world. Of course, Google Plus is using some of its oldest marketing tricks and some surprising new ones as it battles for social supremacy. One of these spokespeople there, who asked to remain nameless, said that this is a very small team, but we have the benefit of Google's existing marketing resources. She says the company won't go into specific strategy for their new social network, but says there will be lots of experimentation. She points to the fact that Google Plus is still in a field trial. For those of you who are griping, we did tell you, beta. It says we expect new features to roll out on a frequent basis. Also rolling out on a frequent basis are Google Plus's growth statistics. This week Comscore announced Google Plus became the fastest social network to reach 25 million unique global visitors. Yes, watch your back, Facebook. Google Plus launched just over a month ago.
Watch your back, Facebook.
Yes.
That's hot.
That's right. Google Plus launched just over a month ago and has outpaced the early growth of MySpace, Twitter, and Facebook. Google also announced the service reached 10 million members in mid-July. Impressive, but consider Facebook's 750 million active users at present. Google Plus still has a long way to go, and yet there's pressure to get there fast. Google's company-wide bonus payment strategy is based partially on the success and failure of Google Plus. While employees will receive their yearly bonuses, 25% of the payments will be determined by the state of Google Plus. So if there's cash on the line, yes, and also Google's reputation, these people are going to be working hard. The pressure's on. They said, and how is Google Plus responding? Well, they have five key marketing strategies that the company's using. Now, I'm going to run down one or two of these, and you can check out the rest over at VenturBeat. I keep wanting to call them VenturBeat. Because I'm hearing Ventura Beach in my head for some reason. But they're saying they're reaching out to Middle America. This weekend, you can see bands OK Go and Rat-A-Tat on the Google Plus stage at Chicago's Lollapalooza Music Festival. Yes, there's also an activation area if you're up in Chicago where you can go over and actually learn more about Google Plus. Another one is they're saying, let them speculate, which is one of my favorite marketing techniques. I let you think whatever you want. Social Statistics currently reports 86% of the Google users are male, 13% of users are female. and 1% are other. Don't ask. That prompted an that prompted an avalanche of stories on Google Plus's gender gap. Business Insider predicted Google Plus will eventually fail unless it attracts something it doesn't have yet, women. You know what? I'm sending out a bunch of invites today. You guys shoot me an email, ladies out there specifically, to webmaster@gamergirlsradio or gamernatrix.com, and I will send you an invite to Google Plus if you're not in yet. Girls only. Guys, if you have a girlfriend, you can send in her email address. So let me know, and then we'll add you to our circle even.
Sorry, guys. Y'all got a penis.
You're going to love what I tell you after the show. All right.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, Lord.
Okay, so Julie Odell is one of the ones who wrote about it on Mashable before she joined VentureBeat. You know Julie? You know Julie Odell? Also, M.M. Faulkner wrote an in-depth post on Google Plus's gender gap on her blog, Pay Attention to People, and she pointed out that list of groups available on the network, including the list of Googlers on Google Plus. She said there was also a list for women on Google Plus, and that's a pretty solid indication of how few women are on there. Google didn't bother soothing gender discrimination fears. It simply declined to comment on the trend and let the chatter continue. Well, today a search for Google Plus gender reveals 500 articles. No sense in stopping conversation when everybody's talking about you. Smart. Another strategy they have, test and measure everything. Yes. Also, they're using celebrity memberships. Yes. So focus on quality membership, not quantity. You can check that one out. I'm not going to read that one either. Pick up celebrities and name drop like it's hot. I like that, too.
Very nice. Very nice.
So apparently, let me give you a quick list of the celebrities that are on there. Not like you care, but just to show you their strategy. Ashton Kutcher. Very smart, because Ashton Kutcher, remember that thing he did with, I forgot, what was it, CNN? Or Good Morning America, where he challenged a guy? I bet I read reach a million followers.
Oh, I can't remember. Yeah.
Something to do with the guy saying he didn't see the purpose in Twitter, and, you know, there's no way. But Ashton Kutcher called his bluff and took him down. William Shatner was on, but his account was suspended. They had until they had to verify. They had to verify that it was William Shatner. That would have been an interesting story.
Yeah.
You also have Robert, My Morning Jacket, Seth Green, who actually promoted the show when he was on Jimmy Fallon, Tim Duncan, and he sent his teammates invitations. You have a couple of politicians who have accounts, but Obama does not have one yet, but I'm pretty sure he'll be getting one soon. So those are their celebrities. Anyway, excellent marketing techniques, Google. We're in. I'm on board. I want to see what they do.
Yep.
Already at 25 million just under a month is rather impressive. You still got, you know, 725 million to go, but I don't think you're going to have a problem getting it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. There's other juice. I do like VentureBeat. This is an old story. You probably have already heard this, but I, for some reason, I just saw it. I'm not going to tell y'all. Y'all know. Go check out VentureBeat. Has to do with Facebook. You'll find it.
Ooh, yeah, I'm heading over there in just a second. Actually, I've got this next one, and I'm surprised you haven't mentioned it yet this morning.
Does it have to do with
Sims? No, it has to do with Zelda.
What?
Nintendo celebrates the 25th anniversary of The Legend of Zelda.
Oh,
with
I knew
Symphony Orchestra in London.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so Nintendo is celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Legend of Zelda video game series in style by hosting a unique symphony concert in London. The Legend of Zelda 25th Anniversary Symphony Concert Tour will stop off in London for a one-off European date, playing music from the iconic series. The European concert will be held on the 25th of October 2011 at the HMV Hammersmith Apollo in London, and will include songs handpicked by Nintendo composer Koji Kondo and his team. Ticket prices.
There we go.
Ticket prices for the London concert start at £33.75, francs, London dollars, whatever that is, and will be available starting on the 8th of August 2011 from the ticketmaster.co.uk/www.zelda-symphony.com. By the way, it's over on GameNatrix.com if you don't want to look that or have to write the whole darn thing down. The Legend of Zelda series is famous for its beautiful music, and we are thrilled to celebrate 25 years of memorable soundtracks from this iconic series
by letting a symphony orchestra bring this music to life. This is coming from Laurent Fischer, Managing Director of Marketing and PR for Nintendo of Europe. The Symphony Orchestra concert in London will allow fans from across Europe to come together and show their love for all things Zelda while enjoying a truly unique performance and experience. A 70-piece orchestra will be joined, yeah, that's huge, by a choir to perform new arrangements of a variety of songs from the series' 25-year history. The concert will be produced by Jason Michael Paul Incorporated, the producers of Play, a video game symphony, which has toured the world performing music from video games. The Legend of Zelda 25th Anniversary Symphony Concert Tour brings one of the video games industry's most exciting and enduring franchises to the concert hall and presents what we feel is the definitive concert experience for the series. This is coming from Jason Michael Paul, executive producer. It's an event that fans and music aficionados won't want to miss. All right, so in celebration of 25 years of The Legend of Zelda series, Nintendo recently released The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D for the Nintendo 3DS.
And I hear it is absolutely epic.
Mm-hmm. Which is a completely remastered version of the classic title. The game now incorporates 3D graphics as well as a brand new control scheme, which utilizes the functionalities of Nintendo 3DS. Zelda fans should also look out for The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword available on Wii later this year, which makes full use of the Wii Remote. The Wii Remote Plus controller to guide Link on his quest to rescue Princess Zelda. Additional 25th anniversary activities will be announced throughout 2011. All right, so if you want more information about the concerts or to see if one is in your area, you can go to zelda-symphony.com or head over to gamingatrix.com right now. I've already got the story up, and you can just go straight to the links.
No, and you can't make me. She's like, I can too. Oh, I can too.
But, watch me.
Well, it is time for us to take a quick break.
Okay.
We might be a tad early, but we're going to take it early. And we're going to come back, and then we're going to tease you with a little bit of news before we shut off. And,
yeah.
And mainly because it's hot up in here. I think I need to stand up and fan or something. Just.
And you're gulping water. Oh, GLaDOS let go of Zelda.
Oh, GLaDOS can't hold Zelda.
Enjoy.
Wow. No idea what this song does to me.
Wow. Do I
hey.
I'm not up then.
Bad, Ginger. You know, it just carried over from last night. Just bad. All right. Bad, Ginger, bad.
Maybe.
Well, did you manage to grab Sad Cat this morning?
Sad Cat?
Sad Cat.
No, I don't think I did.
Well... People are like, Sad Cat, what the hell? Well,
what?
Sad Cat is a new...
Yay, Facebook works again.
Yeah, I wonder why it wasn't working, Google. Sad Cat Software is pleased to announce the launch of Desert Quest, came for iPhone and iPod Touch, the epic, that's what their words, not mine, role-playing adventure that invites players to take an inspiring journey into the world full of magic and secrets. With its smooth and fluid gameplay, beautifully crafted graphics, and enchanting music, the title provides a deeply engaging and unforgettable gaming experience.
All right, you got to stop with that voice. That, wow. I'm not actually hearing anything you have to say.
Players, of course, take on the role of a hero whose mission is to venture through 16 various levels across the unknown and dangerous lands in order to find and save the gorgeous princess from evil spirits. Why can't the princess save him? I'm just saying. They are challenged to show off their, see now I'm bored since I read that part now, they are challenged to show off their archery skills and go through intense combats against 30 kinds of creatures, including 8 spirit bosses. With a diverse selection of upgradable weapons and equipment, users have the chance to improve the speed, agility, and endurance, and gain upper hand in battles. The game contains 20 spells to discover and achieve what can be learned by combining the magical gems and patterns shown in the spell book. Desert Quest presents 4 exotic environments in widely varying landscapes and features different mini-puzzle games that must be solved. I knew a Twitter was coming. To advance further, outstanding 3D graphics are a great addition to a varied, rich, and deep gameplay. Enchanting music and subtle sound effects create special involving atmosphere? Really? And make the whole experience even more enjoyable and captivating. Who writes this stuff? Anyway, you can check this out on the iPhone or iPad store, app store, again, available now. There is a video which I'll post up for you if you just really must have one. It looks interesting. Not as interesting as that weather game we saw earlier this week. I haven't forgotten that one. Remember that weather?
Yeah, I remember you talking about that one.
That weather game is effing awesome.
I don't know if you can actually see that, but that is the most epic thing I've ever seen.
Ginger is sending me prawn like she does every day, if y'all want to know.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Thanks, Ginger. Thanks.
If not, I just downloaded that picture. I'll send it to you because that is the most hilarious thing.
Stop it, Ginger.
What is up with Facebook? You know what? Facebook, you fail. I'm going over to Google.
I think it's you. Oh. Ouch.
Yeah, I just shot them down.
That hurts. Ginger, that hurts.
Mm-hmm. They deserve it.
You earned this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where'd my picture go? I know I just downloaded that.
Jay Dukes tweeted, 25 years of this with Link. When is Link going to learn? Zelda needs to stay her ass out of trouble.
No kidding. Mario, you too. Princess Peach? Not worth it, dude. Not worth it.
Princess Peach did manage to save him once. So Zelda needs to, you know, take over once. Since it is the legend of Zelda, so why is Link doing all the work? I'm all about some girl power, but Link, you need to, he needs to, I'm not liking you so much, Link. What's going on? You for this other chick? What about me? Link, I think it's going to be over between us if you don't stop chasing behind that Zelda chick. Let her save herself.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Let her save herself for once.
Or let her rescue you.
You already read that one. Okay, here we go. No, you didn't. Yes, you did. GamePolitics.com this morning, because you know I love them. PlaySpan.com. Consumers shift to real-world cash for virtual purchases. According to a new study conducted by VG Market and commissioned by PlaySpan, U.S. gamers have shifted from using credits earned from the advertising offers to real-world payments for digital goods using credit and prepaid cards. The data comes from a survey compiled in July 2011 from over 1,000 gamers drawn from a VG Market database. According to the study, nearly one-third, 31%, of the gaming population has used real-world money to purchase virtual content.
Mm-hmm.
Of those who use real-world money, 57% said they make purchases of virtual items using real-world money at least once every month.
I did it last night.
Yeah, I did the other day. All right, so console games account for the majority, 51% of virtual purchases using real-world money, with the social networking games 30% and a massively multiplayer online games, MMOs, coming in at second and third, respectively. The survey found that 72% of respondents indicated that they expect to spend the same or more money on games in 2011 as they did in 2010. Around 67% of those who intended to spend more said they were playing more online games than last year, with 42% saying they have more money to spend. About 32% claimed ease of purchase as the main reason, while greater in-game rewards, 30%, was the fourth most popular reason.
What about just to look good? Because they forgot about that.
And no kidding, right? Oh, God, there's some shoes I saw. And a dress.
Dude. Oh, I got a store I got to show you. Oh, my God.
Yes, you do.
25 Linden boots.
Were they good ones?
Gorgeous.
Seriously. All right. Fanning myself here. Females were almost 3 times more likely than males to use Facebook credits to purchase virtual items. Who is throwing stuff in my windows? I think a bird just hit my window. I'm not even kidding. All right. So, women were more likely than males to use Facebook credits to purchase virtual items or content and outspend males in virtual good purchases in MMOs,
with an average spend of $111 versus $74 when purchasing directly from the game maker. And 86 versus $77 when purchasing from a third party source. Dude, I know some people who spend some cha-ching on some games.
This is true.
With casual games, the differences were even greater, with women spending 40% more than men from first-party publishers, and more than three times as much from third-party publishers. This is why you do not scroll down while you're reading, because you lose your spot. All right, so based on geographical location, consumers on the West Coast, $36, spend approximately 60% more on weapons than the average East Coast gamer at $22. With nearly identical results for armor and equipment, 36 versus 21. Cross-tabulations of the survey revealed significant purchasing differences between self-defined sports enthusiasts and readers. Sports types spent an average of $106 from first party and $132 on third party sites compared to readers who averaged $65 and $49 respectively. Readers had a much higher spend on PC games, with online play averaging $79 a year from first-party sites and $69 from third-party sites. Y'all are evil. Stop buying gold. All right, so where areas those who play sports average $60 and $46 in the genre. Finally, the survey found that men prefer email while women prefer Facebook. Men and women show pronounced differences in the type of communication they prefer for the promotion of a vital currency. Men, 49%, are much more receptive than women, 38%, to email communications, while women, 31%, much prefer promotions on Facebook to men, 18%. All right, so there's a whole survey over at playspan.com, and if you're interested, head over there and check it out. Playspan.com.
All right. I must share our ladies over at Geek Chic Daily. I absolutely adore them, and we're going to be borrowing from them pretty soon. Their tiki demeanor. I'm loving the. You did go over first. Go over and check them out. They sent this over to me, so I must tell you to go check them out. The title of their article today is "Preempting Our Ape Overlords." You guys know Planet of the Apes comes out today. Yes. Okay. Thankfully, there is no game.
Yes, thankfully.
Please let there not be a game. Oh, for the love of God, no Planet of the Apes games. But I will share with you their first tip to preempt your ape overlords. And number one is called the Francophile. Peter Parker could have told you this. Never, ever let James Franco near high-tech lab equipment. Even if he sees the error of his ways at the last moment, he'll try to kill you a few times first. Those of you who've seen Spider-Man get that joke. Anyway, go over to Geek Chic Daily and check out this article. I love those girls. They're insane. And our new friends. Okay. Are you going to see Planet of the Apes?
No. No. Mm-mm, no. After the chick got her face ripped off by an ape? Never. No.
I'm going to see it because it's going to scare me, I think. Very few things actually scare me. So when I get the chance to be scared, I kind of like it. I like to be a little scared.
I avoid being scared.
It's good for the adrenaline. It's good for the skin. That rush of it is. It's very good for you. Just quickly.
No. They're monkeys. No, and after that whole deal, she lost her face to a monkey. No.
It's not that. It's when I watch the trailer when they're talking about the monkey, the facial expression that it has, that just scares me. And I'm like, I gotta see that.
Yes. I watched the documentary on how it was made with somebody a while back.
Yeah, you have to show me that. I want to see that.
Netflix?
Is it? I don't have Netflix, but I bet it's on my on-demand. I bet I have it. Yeah. I have it. I'll find it. I must see. Okay, so those of you World of Warcraft people.
Uh-oh.
We tried to warn you that you were going down, but you didn't listen.
Uh-oh.
This actually came out a few days ago, but for some reason we just picked it up, or I just picked it up looking at VentureBeat. The number of active subscribers for Blizzard Entertainment's most popular online game, World of Warcraft, fell in the second quarter of this year, the second decline in a row. World of Warcraft, of course, is the most dominant online game in the industry. It's enjoyed that position since it launched back in 2004, peaking at about 12 million active subscribers. That number has since fallen for two straight quarters, since the game might now be showing its age. It was showing its age when I got in there. It's given other online games like Try On Worlds, Rift an opportunity to step in and try to steal market share from the massive multiplayer online supergiant. I ain't that impressed with Rift either, for that matter. It's also been a huge source of revenue for Activision Blizzard. World of Warcraft charges players about $15 a month to access the game. The company said digital revenues from properties such as World of Warcraft hit a new record, showing a 27% increase from the same quarter a year ago. Digital revenues now account for 37% of the company's total revenues. He says it's normal to see some declines. The team is currently working on our largest content update since Cataclysm, which will hit later this year. You heard it from us. There's a new something coming at the end of the year. Y'all better overhaul the game. Or just put it in classic mode and walk away, because you can't create a new one. You saw what happened with it.
Yeah.
They said the company is working to open the game in new markets and acquire new players. Morhaime said the game's latest expansion pack, Cataclysm, launched in China last month. The company also made World of Warcraft free to play for the first 20 levels in the game in order to attract new subscribers. You still didn't get me. They said we've also seen an increase in new account creations as a result of that. Morhaime said it's still too early to tell on conversions to subscribership, but I believe that that's an important direction for us. Blizzard Entertainment is also working on another MMO that it's not yet announced. The company is diverting more revenue to development of that title. Yeah, you better be ready.
Yeah.
You better be ready, because this is a sinking ship. You can only kill orcs and trolls for so long.
So, and that was my hugest gripe with all of these releases, all of these expansions. It was always the same monsters. Sure, all right, Burning Crusades had some new monsters that we hadn't seen anywhere else. That was pretty awesome. All the other expansions, the same monsters, just a different skin. And no, it's supposed to be an expansion. It's supposed to be a whole new world, whole new everything. And no, it's the same monsters, just different skins? No. All right, my glowy cat, that was cool. My ghost cat, he was pretty awesome.
I think around the time they did that, there was a whole bunch of people that put that in their game. There's a glowy cat in City of Heroes, too, that sits on your shoulder. One that fights. There's a glowing fairy that keeps your, is it your endurance? Yeah, it's endurance or mana, whatever the translation is. It's in every game. That's what I'm.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool, don't get me wrong. The cat looked really pretty, but for the most part, I found it fairly useless. And would just ignore the darn thing. I wouldn't even use it. I would just pull it out for looks. Otherwise, I had my, what I called my Gorilladin, which was a gorilla that was tough as nails. And I loved that thing. Use that thing in PvP because it had an AoE stomp. Oh, I'm going to interrupt you all over the place. You ain't casting nothing.
I always hate when they put those little pets in the games and they don't do anything or they're not strong. They get killed. My fairy that I had in City of Heroes would, the one swipe and she was down. I had to, and I don't think you could add anything onto her up until right before I left. They started allowing you to buffer up a little bit. So then I just made her fast so she couldn't be hit, because that's pretty much all I could do. there was something else they added right before I quit playing. We were in the beta for, I forgot what this particular area is called, but it was you weren't good or evil, you were in the middle, which is pretty much like my real personality.
Yeah.
Chaotic neutral, hello. For you old school people, but they had something that I absolutely loved, and I can't remember what it was, but it was a really nice effect, and it did something really cool to your character, like a reanimator or organizer or something. But the effect was gorgeous, and when it got done, you had this armor that kind of glowed like the Tron armor. It was all cool, and you were invincible for a good like 10-15 minutes or something. So yeah, I go out and rip up people.
Yeah,
but I hate when they stick stuff in it has no purpose. I think that's where all this is where all the paid stuff came from, guys, if you want to know the truth. People were complaining. Why do I want this and it does nothing? I don't want a new weapon and it just looks pretty. I want it to have some, to do something. If I got a cape, especially the cape was one of the first things I saw them charging for after I got it for free. So I wasn't complaining too much, but some people had to pay. It didn't do anything. Yeah, sure, I look nice. But
yeah.
What? Although my Gamermatrix character in City of Heroes, oh, see, that's where my fashion sense came in. She had on a unitard, some fishnets, some high heel combat boots, her one eye monocle, her captain's hat, and she had the captain's little shoulder things. the captain's
awesome.
Little.
Yeah.
And she had her little riding crop, and she'd stand there, when they have their.
That's hot.
And she had an orange glow because, you know, I love my orange. People would be like, I know who you are the second I saw you coming this way. She's got a big G. Got a big G on her belt. There you go.
Yes.
So, yeah, I love designing the costumes. Anybody want me to design their City of Heroes costume? I'll do it. I have you looking hot.
I bet you would, too.
You know what? We got to go. I'm all talking.
We do have to go.
We got to see. At least we got to rambling at the end of the show.
Yes, yes. We kind of toned down the rambling today.
Well, I want to tell you people. I want to tell you people, thank you so much for listening. This weekend, hopefully not the majority of the weekend, the site will be offline. Do not panic. We are going through our redesign this weekend. I'm also saying this so Ginger can hear because she'll only listen when I'm talking on the show. Ginger, the site will be down over the weekend.
That is fine. I will try to get my story up tonight then.
People will be asking why. And please, people, there is no show tomorrow. I will try to cancel them, but Blog Talk will probably reschedule them. There is no show on the weekends yet. We're talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Please do not panic. Do not wake me up tomorrow morning. Talking about, where are you guys? That was my favorite one. It says waiting for you to call in. Are you going to call in? I thought that was funny. That was like 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. Waiting for you to call in. Are you going to call in? We're waiting. I need my GGR.
That is hilarious. No, people, we're not getting up that early for a show. Sorry, folks. It's a weekend. I'm just going to bed at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Right? I know I will be.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you guys bright and early on Monday. More than likely, some good juice will occur. And as soon as our site is back online, we want you to come over, sign up, tell us if you like it. Oh,
Adam, get up off us.
TV heroes in the building. Katie's on 100,000 trillion. Hey, you're the battleground, my name. Release my pet, and you're gonna feel the pain. Check the scoreboard, do we even got a question?
Barbie, well, she sounds like that on her own.
My obsession. My spirit beats heads and nasty bite like Britney. Babysitting, it'll leave a thick impression. My tone is alone. Every time I ramble attack, I do it with aggression. Why you so mad? Or just keep to your discretion, cause I'ma take you down, and there is no prevention. Cause I gotta wonder, get your ass kicked by a girl hunter.
By a girl hunter, hell yeah.
That's Ginger's part. I had to let it play.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ginger, say goodbye to the people.
Bye, boys and girls. Mwah.